Blog Talk Radio.
Fantasy sports and politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk back? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 yeah. other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports and politics.
It's about that time for you to get ready for a extraordinary event. Happens every Saturday. It's called Fantasy Sports and Politics. It's me, it's Mr. FSP. I'm here, I'm in the place to be, doing what I do because I do it for you. Right now I'm riding solo like Jason Derulo. I know that was kind of weak. I got you. I understand. I feel your pain. That was weak, and I won't do it again. At least not today. Anyway, on today's show, we're going to talk about a variety of things, okay? First thing we're going to talk about is a little basketball. We're going to talk about the upcoming basketball season, and everybody feels that the Lakers are the favorite. Even my co-host thinks the Lakers are the favorite, and, you know, other than the Heat, you know, the old guy thinks that. We're going to talk about last night's Major League Baseball National Championship Series game with Barry Zito. He pulled it out for the San Francisco Giants. So, it's 3-2, but can they win two straight games to play the Detroit Tigers? I want to talk about the Tigers of the Yankees as well. One of our other hosts of another show is a Detroit native and a Detroit homebody, and he's touting his Tigers and putting down everybody else. So hopefully Mac will call in and we'll get him on. We're going to touch on some college football and, of course, fantasy football and some picks. I wanted to do a political show this past weekend. Couldn't get it done because my schedule is kind of crazy. But right now I'm going to bring in my co-host, the ATM, the man that's always going to pay for my children's college tuition. And I'm talking about JT, ATM Money Taylor. What's going on, JT?
Nothing at all, man. There's a lot to talk about. I don't know if you said you're going to talk anything about boxing, but there's some boxing moves that need to be talked about, too. So.
Well, if that's the case, you know, we can back burner basketball because it's just an overview. What's happening in the world of in the world of boxing?
Well, about a week ago or two, I think not on this past FSP crew show, which is at 8 o'clock on Thursday nights. I host that along with Black the Bookie and Jeff the Joker. But the Thursday before, I had talked about a boxer, an active boxer that came out. That said, he says he was gay. I'm talking about Orlando Cruz. Orlando Cruz fought for the fought a fight last night, a featherweight. He was a fourth ranked WBO featherweight contender for the that championship, and he fought what's his name? Oh my God, I can't believe I can't remember this guy's name. He had a fight last night, okay? And he beat the guy. So right now, as of next year, going into next year, he'll be the number one contender for the WBO featherweight title. So I just wanted to bring that to note, that an active boxer, not someone that's been actually retired, came out, and I had made note of it because that does not happen too often, if at all, when an active athlete in whatever professional sport, this time it being boxing, came out and said he was gay, and then he actually jumped into the ring and defeated handily his opponent. I just wanted to bring that to light.
I don't think just because a person is gay they can't fight. I mean, there's a lot of homosexual dudes that can really fight. I mean, I can remember back when I was in pre-9 and going to get into that. Let's just say I didn't know the dude was gay at the time, but he beat me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, okay. But it's substantial for the guy to come out. The reason I'm saying this, and there's an article on ESPN in the boxing section of ESPN, and the guy who wrote it also happened to be gay, and he made some very good notes about it. One of the things is you have to think this guy is a Hispanic, meaning he's a Puerto Rican, so he's got that. Yes, exactly. And he's in a sport that is high on testosterone and machismo.
Yeah.
And he steps into a ring. Imagine him stepping into a ring and losing, and what the repercussions would be because he lost. Saying that the reason he lost because he was soft, because he was gay. And then gay fighters can't really fight. This guy had a lot to lose and everything to gain. When he jumped into the ring, and he pummeled this guy. I mean, he absolutely destroyed this guy. And like I said, he'll be—he should have the number one shot for the title next year. So, I just had to bring that to light because the fact is, I had talked about it a couple weeks ago on a different show, and last night he fought the fight I had set up 2 weeks ago, and he won handily. So,
okay. Well, I think we got Black on the line. I don't know if he's in a crowded area or not, but I'm going to bring him on just in case. Mr. Bookie, is this you on the show? 202-758?
202-758. He may have muted himself.
Yeah, he might have muted himself. I'm going to mute you, brother. All right. I thought he had something to say because he started talking about boxing. That's when he popped up. Anyway. At any rate, you know, there are gays and lesbians in all sports.
Yeah, but that's not coming out. Not coming out.
I know. I mean, like, I don't know if you remember several months ago when I brought up the issue that the NFL had demanded of the Ravens to have Ian Venezio stop, you know, coming out and talking loudly about the fact that he's an active gay NFL athlete, you know, is very brave to him because he's been out for like 3 or 4 years and that hasn't stopped him from making any team or staying with the Ravens and stuff like that. Boxing, again, a blood sport because the transmittal blood is possible. And you know how people think, well, he's gay, he might have AIDS, he might have HIV. I mean, they don't even think about the fact that these guys get tested consistently for drugs as well as HIV and stuff like that. But in every sport, you're going to have stereotypes. Matter of fact, the class I'm taking right now deals with equal opportunity and discrimination and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I just learned that there was a UFC fighter about a year or so ago that was a up-and-coming guy. I think he was like a heavyweight. He got kicked out of the UFC for writing an anti-Semitic graffiti because I guess he thought it was so dark nobody could see him, but they used high-res cameras and caught this guy drawing the anarchist sign on a prominent figure. They got kicked out, but there are all types of people. I bring this up to say that there are all types of people in every sport. So, you know, it's stupid of somebody to say, well, he's soft, she's butch, so she should win. And I mean, if you look at some of the female UFC or mixed martial artists, some of them are very attractive. A lot of them aren't. A lot of them aren't. But there are some very attractive ones.
What's that mean?
What do you mean? As far as, why am I saying this?
Yes.
Because perception is that if you're cute and stuff like that, you can't fight, or you're soft.
Well, that's what I wanted you to say. Go ahead.
Well, I was getting to it. But the perception, shut up. But the perception is because a dude is gay or a chick is lesbian that, you know, there's a stereotype with them.
Exactly.
And there shouldn't be, even though we live in a world where no matter how many times you or I or anybody else says that there shouldn't be a stereotype, there shouldn't be discrimination, there shouldn't be separation of class, there shouldn't be a separation of color of people, there will be just as long as those that are in power and those that believe in it continue to foster it.
Perpetuate it, yeah.
Yeah, you know, yeah. So that's just the way it is. But congratulations to that guy. Now, will his championship fight be one of those on pay-per-view? Will it be HBO? Will it be Showtime? Or will it be one of those that, you know, just get done on ESPN? And if he loses or if he wins, they're going to make a big deal. The first openly gay athlete to admit, the openly gay athlete or boxer to win the championship. That's not saying there haven't been gay boxers that have won championships just openly gay.
Right.
So, you know.
Well, as soon as he decides to come out, he's going to have that that mantra, that stigmatism on him, openly gay and whatever. If he's if he loses or wins the championship, he's going to have that in front of championship. He's going to have openly gay, regardless of what he does.
And I can see it right now. I can see it right now when people are trying to pump up the fight. There's going to be like, or a fight, it'll be like, you got to watch what you say. You won't call him a punk. We'll call him a sissy. We'll call him a fag or whatever. Like, some people normally do that in a promotion. But because he is gay and those terms are associated with gay folks, you're going to be very sensitive or the opponent might be very sensitive. Or they might not. They might want to, you know, say that type of stuff to get under their skin. And stuff like that. Because you have people out there that just do dumb stuff like that. You know, and it's horrible. But, you know, it is what it is, and I wish the guy good luck. I'm not going to harp on it. I'm not a big boxing fan anymore, but I'll look at any fight if it's a good fight. Right now, as you know, UFC is my thing. I like UFC. And a big fight that's happening in April is John Jones versus Chael Sonnen. Now, just to give you a back brief on this, just in case you forgot, Chael Sonnen was the guy that Anderson Silva beat up the last time they fought, but actually beat up but lost to Anderson Silva the first time. And he was supposed, John Jones was supposed to fight Dan Henderson a couple months ago, and Dan Henderson got hurt. So Chael Sonnen moved up in weight and said, you know what, I'll fight him. I'll take on the championship. But John Jones said no, and there was a big deal because it's the first time in UFC history that any champion has never taken on whoever was put in front of him. Well, now they're going to fight in April because John Jones is recovering from an arm injury he suffered in his last fight. And I say that this guy, and a lot of folks say that this guy doesn't deserve the title shot. He gets the title shot because of his mouth. His bravado. He's his self-promoted hype man. And for the longest, the UFC has never done that. The UFC has never pitted somebody that said they want to fight somebody just because they wanted to fight somebody in a match. Much less for the title.
Okay.
You know, they've always gone on merit. Okay, you have to win so many fights, you have to win this quality fighter, you have to be this type of quality fighter to get a title shot. This guy goes from losing two title shots at a lower weight class to getting his first shot in the weight class for a title. And, you know, because of his mouth.
Okay.
And it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I just think it is. But, you know, hey, it is what it is.
I have a couple other things that I want to put out here on the state that have to pertain to boxing.
Okay.
I don't know if you know, but on Showtime tonight, I don't know if it's a big boxing night, but it's going to be a night of titles. Danny Garcia versus Eric Morales in a rematch for the Garcia's WC WBC and WBA junior welterweight title. Paulie Magnaghi versus
Magnaghi. Yeah, I know you're talking about.
Right, Pablo Cesar Cano for Magnaghi's WBA welterweight title. You got Hassan Ndam Nikam, whatever the heck his name is, versus Kid Chocolate Peter Quillen for Jakam's WBO middleweight title. And you also have Randall Bailey versus Devon Alexander for Bailey's IBF welterweight title. That's all on going to be on Showtime tonight. Those are some title shots. And one of the other reasons why I wanted to mention this, and I don't know if you know this guy or remember this from months back, but a fighter named Daniel Jacobs had contracted cancer. And since this is, I guess, Breast Cancer Awareness Month or whatever it is, in that fact, he had a long recovery back from cancer. And this is his first 8-round fight in the middleweight division versus Josh Lutheran. He happens to be on the undercard. I got to give big ups for this guy because he's had a long fight of cancer. To get back in shape enough to, when they told him he wouldn't ever box again, to get into the ring and be able to get in, continue his boxing career. So
that's interesting. I mean, I don't recall it, but that's interesting information.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, boxing is trying to make a comeback in the mind's eye of the teenager. It never lost the faith of the guys of your age and stuff like that.
Right.
But the young team, the 24-year-old, 18 to 24, 26-year-old, they're trying to make a comeback. So they're trying to put fighters in the ring that are fast and can keep their attention going and will slug it out. And I think that's the case with a lot of these welterweights, featherweights, and stuff like that because, yeah, they're small, but those are always the exciting fights. It's not the pity pat. I'm a win on points fight. It's a slugfest for most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
That they're in the ring. So, you know, boxing, they're going to get their stuff together. But they have too many titles and too many areas. But you know, once they find that one person to galvanize around, and it's not Floyd Mayweather Jr., it is not. They'll they'll capture a lot of attention from the UFC and all these other sports that are taking away viewers and money. So, but you know, that's good. We talked about a little bit of boxing to start the show. That was good. Let's move on to basketball.
The Masters always like that, man. You know that.
Oh, please. Masters, please. Anyway,
I'm coming.
By the way.
And I'm coming.
No,
I'm coming.
No, you know, we're about to talk about fantasy football in a minute, but I want to clear something up. The reason why, and ladies and gentlemen, if you listen to all the shows we have Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, the past couple of shows you've heard the opening of Fantasy Sports and Politics, and that's because the 3-month, I guess, timetable that we pre-broadcast our shows or pre-set our shows had expired, and every show reverted back to the main show's theme.
I kind of thought that, and I forgot to.
No, you didn't.
No. I know what I said. I know what I said on Thursday night FSP Crew show. I know what I said, and I forgot to check it last night before we went on the air. But it was just gave me an opening to put a little jab to you, but. I realized, and I'm saying it on the air, I realized that it's probably been preset because it happened twice. So I said, okay, I should have checked it before, but I didn't think about it until it was too late. So I know I got to go back in there and change the opening theme for each of the shows that
Already did.
Okay.
I did for next week. I didn't do it for the weeks after that. But,
okay.
I will.
Okay.
But that's what it is.
Yeah.
You're calling me out. I couldn't even defend myself. You on the show, and then Matt saying, yeah, you know how Vic tripping. I got both of y'all.
Well, you should have called in. You had an opportunity. You should have called in.
This was after the show when I listened.
I know
to the show.
In fact, you jumped on Skype because I saw you when you jumped on Skype. You jumped on Skype just about when the show was about to go off. I'm saying, why does he do that?
I didn't jump on Skype. I just got in the class. I just got in and I turned my computer on.
Oh, okay.
Skype automatically
comes up, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
I know you're old and technology kind of is beyond you. It's okay.
Yeah,
it's okay.
just like BRB, but I understood.
Exactly. Be right back. I mean, I'm not the youngest of persons, but I know what BRB means. Oh. Anyway.
Hey man, I just got on Twitter not too long ago, so help me out here.
I know, Magic Man, 1954.
Damn right. I'm proud of that,
okay.
Too.
You need to shorten that handle. Oh, speaking of which, let me put this out there. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to follow what we do on this show and some of the things we do off the show, you can go to Twitter and look up Magic Man 1956. And
1954.
Whatever. He's old. 1954. Magic Man 1954, or FSP Crew Show, or Fan Sports and Paul. Those are our three handles on Twitter. Typically, I'm up there putting something on Twitter, or Black is, and Jerry, he doesn't do it all the time, but he's trying to get all the women on Twitter. I don't know. He's got to watch out for them old dirty dudes. But,
I got a binder full of women.
Mittens Romney. I want to talk about that, but I don't want to talk about it because I know we got a couple of things we got to talk about. So
okay.
I don't want to kill the show with politics right now.
Okay.
But real quickly, I want to jump into basketball.
Uh-huh.
Because we talked about it briefly last week. I want to build up to it. Kevin Love of the Minnesota Timberwolves. Be out 6 to 8 weeks. Okay. Also, it's going to be Rubio is still out. Minnesota this year actually had a shot at making it to the playoffs and doing some damage. But 6 to 8 weeks at the beginning of the season can be really detrimental. Breaking your hand as a basketball player is probably one of the worst things you can do because it messes with your shooting when you come back. So let's talk briefly about some teams that are going through some, or might be going through some issues heading into the first couple games of the season. Mr. Taylor?
Okay.
Let's talk about the Heat. I was going to throw it to the Heat because, you know, that's your new team, I guess.
I do not like them. I know the skill set, and they have a lot of weapons, and you got to respect that. But no, my team is the Knicks. I'm a diehard Knicks fan. I'm going to stay with the Knicks, even though the Carmelo Anthony gets dogged out. Supposedly, they say he's a selfish player. I don't think he is. In fact, let me put it this way: I know he's not. It's just, and it proved it in the Olympics. If he has talent around him, and he'll be able to defer to that talent versus being the best player on the team when he has to shoulder the weight of the offense, that's a different story. So, and it's going to happen again this year. It's going to happen again with the fans. Some of them don't understand basketball. That if you got one superstar on the team that can play, that can put points on the board, that person is going to get fed the ball more than anybody else, and that person's got to be able to carry the team. True, the Knicks have other players, but one is a defensive player of the year, and the other one is injury prone, and he's not a huge offensive weapon, and can be inconsistent. And then you got parts that fill in. You got an aging point guard with another point guard that was in New York and is coming back. And it wasn't too thought of in the first place. And then you have older players with a mix of older and younger players. You got trying to think what we have here. You got the Lakers, excuse me, that have an array of players, very good players. Some of them older, some of them not healthy, meaning Dwight Howard, who I think is still up in the air whether he's going to start the season or not. Coupled up with Steve Nash, who's an older player who doesn't play that well defense, if any defense at all, along with Meta World Peace, who's a meltdown waiting to happen, with the Black Mamba, who's an aging Black Mamba. You got a lot of teams that, in my opinion, have a lot of potential being contenders, more in the West versus the East. But one injury, just like Kevin Love, can stifle their start of the season until they get healthy. So,
well, that's why I was bringing it up, because you can talk about the Heat supposedly the dominant team in the East, but you've got Ray Allen, who's aging, but he has a couple of nicks and knacks. Then you got Wade, who always has an issue and is coming off of a surgery.
Right, right.
You've got my man in Chicago coming back off an injury. I can't remember. Derrick Rose coming off a horrific knee injury.
Yep.
You know, but people were forgetting they were pretty much neck and neck with the Heat a year or so ago before that injury happened.
Wow.
So, you know, and they didn't trade away good pieces, but it all depends on how Rose comes back from that injury. So I look at the landscape of the NBA this upcoming season as they're one injury away from being a non-factor.
Right.
Now, the Wizards, we need some help. We went out, we got Nene, we went out and got a couple other players. Good on us, but I don't think we're going to be good enough to make the playoffs. We might make a push to make the playoffs, but I don't think we're going to make the playoffs because in true Wizard fashion, what they do is they take these high contract guys and then trade them away or buy them out or whatever to make cap space. Hopefully that's not the case this year. But with Ted Leonsis not having to worry about paying his hockey players, he saved us some money this year. They can invest it more into the basketball team. I hope he does, and we'll see. But I look at the West and the East, and I see a lot of teams that have potential, and these so-called top contenders are one injury away from being out of it. And I don't care how many superstars you have on your team, Nash, Kobe, Paul Gasol, Dwight Howard, Meta World Peace. Okay, you got Blake coming off the bench. Who do you have backing these guys up? Who's on that team that can step in just in case something happens to back these guys up and continue on for maybe 3, maybe 4 weeks while they recover? You don't have many. Not many at all. So, that's my piece on basketball. You got anything else you want
to add? Well, let me just address what you had beginning talked about. You had talked about the Heat. And the first name you came up with was
Ray Allen.
Ray Allen was an intricate part of what the Celtics had to do.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is an interesting situation for Ray Allen in Miami. For the simple reason is he's got three superstars and he's falling into this team with three superstars. He doesn't necessarily have to be counted on for 20 points or 15 points. He doesn't have to score 15 points. It's a luxury if he scores 15 or more. He's counted on to make key three-point shots, which is like a layup to you and I, to Ray Allen, because he's one of the best in the league in history as a three-pointer. And the pressure, regardless of what game, whether it's a regular season game or eventually I think they will get into the playoffs, he doesn't have the pressure he had with playing in Boston, that they relied on him for the 3 points. Chris Bosh, but LeBron James or Dwayne Wade or even I forget his name now. What's the young guy? What's the point guard?
Chalmers.
Chalmers, Mario Chalmers. He can hit a 3-pointer. So Ray Allen, in my opinion, is going to play. He should play very relaxed throughout the season and in the playoffs, because the fact is he's got the luxury of not having any pressure on him whatsoever. Anything that Ray Allen gives them is a bonus on that team. For the fact he'll be the fourth thought, the afterthought, after the thought, after the thought, because every team's going to concentrate either on Chris Bosh, LeBron James, or Dwayne Wade, and leave Ray Allen floating free for the most part, because they're concentrating on those three. So I think Ray Allen's going to have, in my opinion, I wouldn't say a comeback year, but I think he's going to have an extremely good year, for the simple fact is his whole situation, his whole playing situation, his whole mindset being on the court is going to change because of the pieces around him.
Okay.
And that's just going to benefit the Miami Heat. I'm not a big Miami Heat fan, but because they got Ray Allen along with those three other players and they filled in some pieces on the bench, they're going to be a really tough out in the East. And the problem is whoever comes out of the West, even though they beat somebody who came out of the West last year, the experience of the teams that didn't make it to the finals, coupled along with the experience of the team that did make the finals, is going to make it very hard if the Heat ever get back to the finals this year for them to repeat.
I mean, I understand what you're saying, Jerry. I really do. I just believe that I don't think the Heat are going to be the bull of the woods. I really, taking that Dusty Rose term, the bully of the woods or bull of the woods or whatever. You know, they're a very good team. They might even be in the Eastern Finals again, but I don't think they're going to go all the way this year. I think they're going to be hurt, and I think a lot of teams. I actually feel that Chicago has a great opportunity. Depending on Rose's recovery, has a shot at it, and that's why I wanted to talk about the NBA real quick.
Okay, let me expound on it. And I meant to say something about Rose too. Derrick Rose and the injury he sustained last year, I don't think he'll ever be the same again. And I really believe when he does come back, that the way he played, he's going to change, because he can't play that way because his surgically repaired knee won't allow him to, for one, and he'll be in too much of a danger of injuring himself with that same knee, because he plays pretty recklessly and pretty violently when he goes to the basket, and a lot of his trauma that came to his knee because the way he plays. I mean, he goes up there and without any regard for his body, he's going to have second thoughts about doing that now. He's going to have to change his game, and I don't think he's going to be as explosive as he was before this injury. I think this is going to greatly change his game. And if it changes his game, Chicago is not going to have the same type of dynamic offense that they had before. So I know people are anticipating when he does come back that it's going to be the same old. I don't think so.
Oh, no. I don't feel it'll be the same old. I think you're right. He's going to be hesitant to go to the basket because, one, he was complaining at the time when he was healthy about the refs not giving him calls like they would give LeBron or they would give Kobe or whatever the case may be. But I do believe he'll settle for more jump shots closer in to the bucket. I think he won't go for that aggressive layup in fear of coming down wrong on his leg.
Mm-hmm.
But I do believe he's going to become a more traditional point guard, even though that's not what he is. He'll try to get everybody involved. And if all those guys up there in Chicago, if Boozer decides to show up, if Joakim Noah continues to be consistent, if, you know, Luol Deng can shoot like he did several years back, Chicago has a good recipe and a good mixture of team of players to challenge. You know, so I think that you can't discount him, even though Rose's style was aggressive. It probably won't be that way, but he's going to try. And when he gets that real, you know, buckle up his knee or whatever the case, he's going to be like, well, I can't really do that anymore. You know, somebody might undercut him. You know, not trying to be dirty, but just happens to go that way. You know? But we'll see what happens.
Okay. Okay.
I want to move on to Major League Baseball. And Major League Baseball happens to be dominating the sports scene right now as far as winter sports. I know football is always in the headlines, but they're not as dominant. Football, that is, not as dominant as what's going on in Major League Baseball, in my opinion. This is Vic's opinion now. You have the Nationals have their dream season come to an end. You have the Orioles have a comeback year come to an end. You have the Yankees getting swept by the Detroit Tigers. No one saw that coming. You've got a 3-0 lead with San Fran and St. Louis. Only to have Barry Zito pitch 7 2/3 innings and pull it out for him. Here's Mike Matheny, the manager of the St. Louis Cardinals, talk about Zito.
Never did get into a good groove. You know, we had a good opportunity in the second when we had second and third and nobody out. Punch out, walk, double play, takes a lot of life out of a club, and another opportunity in the fourth. But those were really all we had. But in these games, you have to take advantage of those, and Zito didn't make many mistakes.
So let's talk about that real quick. The Giants are one, you know, loss away from ending their season, and the Cardinals are just one game away from having the opportunity to defend their championship of last year. Without Albert Pujols, might I add? Without Albert Pujols. Just want to throw that in there. I wish Mac was on the line so I can talk to him about his Detroit Tigers. He didn't say crap about them until the playoffs. Just want to put that out there as well.
If you listen to the show last night, that's one of the things I had called him on, because I said, you know, it amazed me that you never said anything about your Detroit Tigers until they won the series with the Yankees. He says, well, one of the things he said was, why do I have to? You know, I'm from Detroit, and I was born and raised in Detroit. Why do I have to fly a banner and say I'm a Detroit Tiger fan? I said, well, you know, wait a minute. And then ironically, we had a young lady near the end of the show. I hope she calls back again.
Yeah, St. Paul's. That was great.
Had a young lady call back, called in just near the end of the show. She lives in California. She's from West Philly, and she happens to be Boston Celtics, and a Packers fan. And I'm saying, I asked her, I added just for the simple reason of what Mac had said earlier in the show. I said, see, Mac, she's from West Philly, lived in West, born and raised in West Philly, but moved to California, but that's besides the fact. So I, you know, even though she lives in Pennsylvania and Philly, I couldn't assume that she's a Pennsylvania team fan. She's like the Celtics. She likes the Packers, and I asked her straight up why does she like either one of them, which was it didn't make a difference why, but I just wanted to ask her why. And I'm just trying to make the point that just because you are from where you are does not necessarily mean that you're a team of whatever team's in that state or city. So simple for the fact, the point is I'm making is this. He felt that he didn't have to fly the banner that he was a Detroit fan, and he was just congratulating the Detroit Tigers after they won. I said, well, I mean, you jumping on to me, that's jumping on the bandwagon and saying welcome, you know, congrats to my Detroit Tigers. He says, well, I've always been a Detroit fan, regardless of what, whoever, Detroit Tigers, Detroit Red Wings, Detroit Pistons. I'm all in on in Detroit. I said, well, I didn't know that until you had told me that. Otherwise, you know, when you start flying your banner and saying, my team is finally going to the World Series, I said, okay, when was your team? Because, you know, you didn't tell anybody but us until now. So,
well, you know, I knew that he was a Detroit Pistons fan, stuff like that. I had my suspicions about him being a Tiger fan because I'm a homer, too. But I will say this. I think that when things go good, that's when people, not just him now, when things go good, people decide to jump on a wagon. When things go bad, a lot of them folks put that stuff up and hide it. You know, it is what it is, and I wanted to talk about it, not just that situation, I want to talk about the baseball situation, period. A-Rod, where does he go next? He says he's coming back to the Yankees, 5 years, $114 million.
Right.
People are having him going to the Florida Marlins.
He ain't going nowhere.
Let
me tell you something. I'll be extremely shocked if A-Rod goes anywhere. You know why? Because they can't trade him. Because he's got a no-trade clause. And he already said, I'm not waiving my no-trade clause. So unless they try to shame him, saying you're going to be sitting on the bench, which you ain't going to sit nobody who's $114 million on your payroll, who getting paid almost $23 million a year for the next 5 years, you ain't going to sit him. So the next move is try to shame him so much that he's going to want him to go. And A-Rod, he's the type of personality. He's already said, I'm coming back to show you that I'm not washed up. He's the type of guy that he can sit and take what you're going to give him because he has already. And still, you know, say, I'm coming back to the Yankees. I'm going to play. If you don't like me, that's fine. I'm still going to play because I'm going to prove to you I'm still a good player. So regardless of what the media is saying or who they're trying to move him to or the rumors are, A-Rod is the defining person to talk to. If he says I'm not waiving my no-trade clause and that's still in effect, you forget it. He ain't going anywhere. They're going to speculate all they want. It's not happening.
Okay, so let me go this route then. Why then did – okay, so if A-Rod didn't go anywhere, does Joe Girardi go somewhere for not playing this guy for the past three games in critical situations? Now, granted, he had a .108 average during the series or during the playoffs. I got it. But if you're paying that guy this much money and you know the power he has, and he has a good record versus Verlander, a good batting average versus Verlander, you know, why not play him? Why, you know, keep him on the bench and do an experiment and do an experiment with these other guys?
I'm sure glad you asked me that question, because I was thinking of what I forgot to tell you. I forgot to tell you this, and a lot of people have probably not known this. Brian Cashman was on, I forget, whatever show on ESPN. I think it was an ESPN radio show. And he specifically said, in the playoffs, I had a hand on who was playing. So he had a hand in sitting A-Rod. So regardless of what you think of Joe Girardi, in the playoffs, Brian Cashman had a big hand on what the lineup would be from day to day. Mm-hmm. So Joe Girardi is the manager, right? That's the manager, but Brian Cashman's the GM, and he's the personnel man. Regardless of what Joe Girardi does in the game, that's a different story. But setting the lineup, Brian Cashman publicly came out on radio and said, I had a hand in that. So I can guarantee you he said sit A-Rod. Sit him for the last two games, because he's not batting well. And I know you heard about the baseball issue.
No, I did not.
Oh, you can't believe? You, are you serious? You didn't hear about the baseball issue?
Yeah, I've been in school all freaking week.
Okay,
my sports.
This is what happened. The first game of the playoffs in Yankee Stadium against the the Detroit Tigers. I don't know when it happened in the first game, but A-Rod signed a baseball with his telephone number to give to a bikini model in the stands during the game.
Really?
I am not kidding you.
Cameron Diaz or something like that? Who's he using
that? I'm telling you, that is what happened, and that's the fact. That's not
that's
hearsay.
That's probably the impetus of him getting benched, because it's like his focus is on, you know, getting some as opposed to getting some.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
Maybe that has something to do with
it. Hey, well, all I'm telling you is that's what happened in the first game, and he didn't hit throughout the series, and quite naturally he was benched for the last two games. And everybody's down on A-Rod. All these Yankee fans are up in arms because their team is not in the World Series. All these Yankee fans, yes, Yankee fans, if you're on here, I'm calling you hell on out, because you're front runners and you're crying right now because your boys got swept. I was in an argument. I told Mac this last night, and I'll tell it to you again. I was in a heated conversation with a Yankee fan saying that the Yankee didn't hit. I said the reason they didn't hit because they got outpitched. He said, they didn't get outpitched. We had good pitching. I said, you may have had good pitching, but Detroit had better pitching. And the reason why the Yankees did not hit is because Detroit had better pitching, starting pitching, and in their bullpen. That's the reason why. Good pitching always stifles a good hitting. That's been tried and true from the time baseball's been started. And that's what happened. They outpitched you. And the person I was talking to didn't want to admit it. And I broke it down to him like that. I said, they outpitched you, regardless if the games were close or they were won by five or six runs. It doesn't make a difference. They outpitched you, plain and simple. Plain and simple.
Right.
And the Yankee fans have a hard time dealing with someone that's better than them, because their freaking payroll is the most expensive one in baseball. So they think that they're supposed to be in the World Series every year, and if they're not, their team's bum, get rid of them, blow them out, throw them out of here, and buy some new players.
I want you to calm down first, because I see your Mets bias is coming out.
No,
so,
no, is that the fact? It's just the fact.
Bias.
It's not. It's just the fact is the Yankee fans are fair weather fans, because the fact is, if their team is not in the World Series, then throw the bums out, get some new bums in there. It's not because that at that time they got outplayed. It's not that the players that they have in place are inferior or they just had a bad series. It's not that. They think that their players are bums if they don't get to the World Series. So get rid of those players and bring some more players in rather than stick with the same players because those players got you to the playoffs, got you to where you're at. You had some key injuries, but that's not the case. You're supposed to be able to overcome it. You're supposed to buy your way to the championship, and sometimes you can't do it. Sandy Alderson has shown that. Billy Beanball has shown that. A lot of teams that have a smaller payroll, like from the Florida Marlins, they did it twice, had a cheap payroll, pretty low payroll, and then they won it, but they got rid of their players. But the point I'm making is you don't have to have a quarter of a billion dollar.
Yeah,
quarter of a $1 billion payroll to be able to compete and get to the World Series. So
I agree. And you know, you look at the Nationals, you look at the Orioles, you look at
right.
The Giants have a decent payroll; it's not extravagant.
Mm-hmm.
The Cardinals have a decent payroll; not extravagant. Detroit has a nice size payroll, but they have good players that actually work well together. You know, I'm not saying that the Yankees players don't work well together, but I think their time is done. And that's what I wanted to talk about this because baseball is a hotbed right now because of the way the series have gone.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned Billy Beane and the Oakland A's. You know, this is the first time in a long time that under the radar teams have won and made the playoffs. You know, it's been very exciting. And I wanted to talk about the Giants and the Cardinals because
I love the Cardinals.
Well, they're all right. I'm mad that they beat my Nationals, but it is what it is.
You couldn't tell that? You couldn't tell by my fantasy team? The players I had on my fantasy team were majority of them were Cardinals.
Why are we talking? You told me you weren't going to bring that up anymore after a week or so. You're a liar. Again, you're a liar.
Wait a minute. That's a strong word. That's a strong word. No. I wasn't talking about any playoff rewards. I was just talking about the team I had, and then you had to take it to the next step. All I was saying is. You couldn't tell, by the way, that I liked the Cardinals because I had quite a few Cardinals on my fantasy baseball team, and I had a few Yankees on my baseball team. But the key Yankees I had were pitchers, and the key Cardinals I had were hitters. So that's the point I was going to make. Not go any further than that, and then you had to call me a liar.
Of course I do.
Yeah, I know that.
That's what I do.
Yeah, I know
that's what I do. I still love you, though.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Go ahead.
I don't want to talk about fantasy baseball. That's a sore spot. I actually got an offer to join a fantasy. Silence.
I'm sorry, man.
I actually got offered a spot in a fantasy basketball.
Same here.
I don't know if I want to do it. I don't know. I mean, well, is it free or is it pay?
I read the email and it said it was free.
Yeah, this is from George, right?
Yes. Said it was free. I don't know
George
anything.
Is free. You can do side bets. You can do side bets with George. I mean, it's you know, for the fun, and if you want to get in and bet, you know, game versus game, then so be it. You know, I don't think George is. You know.
I don't know anything about fantasy baseball. Remember
you didn't know crap about baseball and you won. You might as well join basketball, you jerk.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know anything about fantasy basketball. That means I'm going to win that, too.
Shut up. You pompous ass. Anyway.
I like talking to you because you're easy. You are so easy.
I make it easy because it makes for good radio. Anyway. The Cardinals and the Giants series. I mean, it's pretty much over. Yeah, Zito gave them a spark, but is that spark going to be enough to push the Giants to win, you know, two straight games and go play Detroit?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's my point. I think it's going to be whoever Detroit plays. I think if they play the Cardinals, it won't be watched as much, the World Series. But if they play the Giants, I think it will be, because it's Midwest versus the West Coast. It's not Midwest versus Midwest. And it's a National League. Whoever wins the National League, the Texas League Cardinals, has the home field advantage. So Detroit's going to have to win a game there, and I think they can do it. You have Prince Fielder, who's coming from the National League just last year, so he's familiar with them, and he's hit St. Louis well. He's hit San Fran and St. Louis well. You've got Miguel Cabrera, the Triple Crown champion, first time in, what, 70-something years?
MVP!
He hits in all ballparks. And Verlander can pitch in wherever. Now it's a supporting cast. Can they pitch? Can they catch? Can they hit in any ballpark? And I think it's going to be a very, very good World Series, no matter who plays Detroit.
I'm looking forward to this, man. I am looking forward to this, because if you look at both these teams, this is a classic World Series, in my opinion. This is a classic World Series. You got a pitching staff, two very good pitching staffs. One is one pitching staff, the Cardinals, don't have a really outstanding, dominant pitcher like Detroit has, but they have some very good pitchers in St. Louis. They have some extremely good pitchers in St. Louis, and they have some explosive bats all through that lineup, not just a few guys. They have some guys that can deliver key hits at any time all through that lineup. Then you go over to Detroit, who has, with Verlander, who's the man, but don't discount any of those other starting pitchers, and including the bullpen, along with Cabrera, like you said, along with Fielder, along with Delmon Young, and Peralta. I think he's also in there. So you got this, to me, I know they were in 2006. I'm going back to 1968 when I remember watching these guys, and I was absolutely glued to the TV when they played in 1968, because they had I would think they probably had a similar type of team. Maybe 68's team was more offensive on Detroit's side, but two strong staffs, two real strong pitching staffs, along with two good everyday ball players. It may not be a media darling because of the two teams, Detroit and St. Louis, but for baseball purists like myself, I can't wait to see that if it happens between those two teams.
Well, I think it's going to be a good series regardless of who plays in it. And again, my boys are going to watch it. I'm going to watch it. And I'm trying to get them more involved in sports. They've asked to play football. They've asked to play baseball. It's just getting them involved here and, you know, where I am now.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to make sure their grades are okay and they're adjusting well to this different lifestyle.
Do they like baseball?
Yeah, they like all sports. It's just...
Have they played it before at any level?
Not... they played flag at school and stuff like that, but I'm finding out my youngest... He is extremely athletic. Extremely.
Okay. Who's that?
He Jeremiah.
Of course.
Shut up.
Of course.
I knew you were going to say it. Victor is the more, he's athletic, but he's more cerebral about what he's going to do and how he does it. Jeremiah, he just does it.
My man. You know?
Whatever.
My man.
He's just as fast as his brother. He is really fast.
Okay.
So he's going to, and he's also just as tall and bigger than his brother, so he's going to be pretty good. But
okay.
Baseball, football, basketball, and soccer, they're strange, though. They kick with their left foot, but they're right-handed. And I try to get them to kick with their right foot, and they're like, no. And they can do it, but they kick better with their left. And I'm like, when did you guys start doing that? Daddy has never kicked with his left. Mommy never. And they just do it. I don't know.
Well, in soccer, you got to use both feet. I mean, that's plain and simple. You got to be able.
Yeah.
You got to be proficient in both sides, with your left and with your right. One can be a little dominant, but you got to be proficient on both sides.
Well, yeah, they're not playing soccer. They're not making a lot of money there. But
Wait a minute now. The soccer players make a lot of money. Soccer players make a lot of money, for one. And a lot of these guys, besides making money, I'm talking about professional players, they play it for the love of the sport. And it just happens to be that something that they're real good at and they get paid to do. But, you know, a professional player, he gets paid, but up to a certain point, he's got to have a love for the game, a passion for the game, to sustain the same level of play in order to get paid for it. So these guys, even though they get vilified because of the amount of money they be making, it takes a lot to be a professional athlete and sustain level of play to be a consistent professional player. Your kid's gonna should have a better opportunity playing baseball, which they can play year round. Because they're out on the West Coast, which is a more favorable climate than the East Coast or the Midwest.
For the next 3 years.
Yeah.
You know, I got that. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're in the UFC, they're in the wrestling. I got them. But the main focus that my wife and I are trying to get them into first, just like I did, but I started late, was education first. First year, teacher, your grades right. And
mm-hmm.
we can get you in the football, we can get you in the basketball, but your grades have got to be straight in order for you to do these things.
Mm-hmm.
So they're gifted athletically, not worried about that at all. Just like their father. Anyway.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. That's right, I said it. Let's move on to football. Since we
I keep on saying the same thing.
My back got bruises.
Yep. You know what? We've been talking too much to each other because you know exactly what I'm going to say.
Exactly. I want something. Whatever, old guy. Old guy never changes.
Here we go.
Let's move to football.
Go ahead.
Transition with the kids.
I'm coming.
No, you ain't. We're going to get to fantasy in a second. Let's talk about a game.
I'm full of talk today, man. I'm full of talk today.
I know you are. We got 20 minutes left of live there, and I'm trying to get this stuff out, and you're going to talk.
Go ahead, man. I'm sorry.
It's all right. Let's get to football. Before we get to the fantasy aspect, let's talk about two areas here. Aaron Rodgers going up against one of the better defenses in the NFL, the St. Louis Rams. Now, with Randall Cobb probably being the target guy, because people were saying Jordy Nelson's going to have a letdown after having 3 touchdowns last weekend. Randall Cobb should get a lot of targets and stuff like that. And James Jones should do some good things. And that guy, not Amon Green, but Alex Green.
Alex Green, yeah.
You know, yeah, being the new spark plug for Green Bay. Things are looking good for him. But here's Mr. Rodgers. We're going to his neighborhood. He's going to talk about the Rams' defense.
They're very well coached. I think they've played a little bit quicker at home, which is natural because you're going to get that extra kind of half step from the crowd noise. But they got a good pedigree. They have a good defense. They can cover. They have guys to get after the passer really well. And, you know, when you have a middle linebacker like Laurinaitis who's playing at a very high level.
Well, you notice he mentioned Laurinaitis. He didn't talk about Courtland Finnegan or the rookie cornerback out there who's surprisingly playing not like a rookie. Janoris Jenkins, the kid that was at Florida, got kicked out, went to Northern Alabama, and became a top pick. You know, they're going into that dome. Are you smelling upset, Gary, or is this a game that the Packers are going to pull out?
Let me tell you something here, man. These NFC West teams, you come into their house, you better be ready. You better strap on your helmet a little tighter because these teams aren't playing when you come into their joint. They are not playing. They will knock your socks off. St. Louis is just another one of them. San Francisco, you know about. Seattle, you know about. And Arizona, you know about. St. Louis is ready, is going to be ready for the aerial attack for the Green Bay Packers. Courtland Finnegan and Javoris Jenkins are one of the, in my opinion, one of the better corners, especially cover corners, in the league. And I'm amazed. And I think from years from now, 5 years down the road at least, this is going to be one of the better classes, regardless of what position they're in, of rookies mm-hmm. coming into the league. Because you guys got rookies at every position, balling, man, balling.
Yeah.
You got them. I'm talking about offense, defense. Doesn't make a difference. You got rookies coming into this league and balling out. And Javoris Jenkins and Courtland Finnegan with his attitude in a Jeff Fisher type of defense. You better strap on because these wide receivers are going to be tested big time. Physical, they're going to be. It's going to be physical off the line. You're going to have to work to get off the line, and you're going to have your best shoes on to be able to get free from both of these corners. So I'm looking that this may be an upset in the making here, because the simple fact is that these NFC West teams defenses are no joke any longer.
No, they're not. No, they're not, and that's why I want to talk about it, because you got we pretty much glanced over them when we did our division.
Right, we assumed.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Even though
mm-hmm.
we said that there were some good defenses there, we didn't expect the defenses to be this good. All four
right.
defenses to be ranked in the top five.
Mm-hmm.
That means only one team in the NFL has a better defense than a whole division.
Right.
And that's crazy.
That is crazy.
But it is what it is. And, you know, you can pick up these. You can still pick up maybe. I don't think you can pick up the Rams. I know you can't pick up the 49ers. You might be able to get Arizona's defense. And you might be able to pick up, Rams, Arizona,
yeah,
49ers.
You'd probably be able to pick the Rams up because they're going up against the Packers, and a lot of people are discounting the Rams' defense.
Oh, no. They're at home. You play them.
Oh,
I
fully agree with you.
Home.
I fully agree with you.
I know I said we're going to hold off on fantasy, but I'm playing them
mm-hmm.
because they don't have a running game to speak of the Packers. They have their running game complements their passing game.
Mm-hmm.
And the way their DBs play, they're very aggressive, and they like to get you in little spats and cause you to get personal fouls and stuff like that. It's going to be something special. It's going to be something special. But let's move on down or move over to the West Coast Southwest, where we're talking about a guy that won a job, then lost a job, and now he's got that job back. I'm talking about Skelton on taking the job back from Kevin Cobb.
Mm-hmm. I guess it does take a little time to get back into the flow of things, but you know, it's not like we're going from the end of last year to the beginning of this year. It's not a whole year off or anything. You know, you're still mentally dialed in. You're still ready. You still see a hot on camera or on film whenever there is. And, you know, now it's just going out there and executing it and, you know, sticking to our rules as an offense.
So, all you Larry Fitzgerald owners, get ready to see a bump in the numbers. All you Andre Roberts owners, get ready to see a slump in those numbers. It's Skelton looks for Fitz, he finds Fitz. Cobb doesn't look for Fitz, and he spreads the ball around, but he also gets jacked up. But it doesn't matter with this offensive line unless they have a running game that will keep people on the edge of their feet. They're going to blitz, and no matter if it's Skelton or Cobb, the Cardinals are in trouble until Beanie Wells returns in a week or two.
That's not going to make a difference. Beanie Wells, not going to make a difference at all, man. Let me tell you, not going to make a difference at all. Beanie Wells is I would say history, but he's a bust. Plain and simple, he's a bust. He can't stay on the field. He's a constant injury concern, and his ability, in my opinion, is not. His skill set is not that good. He just isn't that good. He's not as smart a runner as a lot of people thought he was. And especially with that poor Arizona offensive line that can't block can't block for to save their life. They can't block in the passing. They can't block in the running. So what good are they? They're just a bunch of bodies sitting out there just taking up space. And so it doesn't make a difference who's back there. Arizona's got one of the worst run schedules from now until the end of the season. So I don't expect anything out of any Arizona runner.
I'll say this. I think Russ Grimm is going to get a raw deal because he's an offensive line coach in Arizona. But the organization saw fit to put their resources in other areas other than the offensive line. They've got a bunch of guys on the offensive line that were either cast-offs or they were fifth, sixth-rounders that showed good 1 year, but the last two have done nothing. So I think he's doing what he can with what he has. But I think in this upcoming draft, they need to target offensive linemen, period. Their defense is good. Their defense is good. It might be a little aging, but it's good. They need offensive linemen, period. They can get a running back, but their first three or four picks better be offensive linemen. It better be. I mean, and I'm packing it in for them, but we'll see what happens. I think Skelton is he's going to hold on to the job because I think he makes better decisions than Kevin Cobb. That's just my opinion. But with that line, he's going to have to run for his life. So if you have somebody that tries to trade you a crap player for Skelton, namely Jerry, don't do it, especially if you play a three-quarterback league, which is crazy anyway. They're going to try to fleece you because they're crooks. They're like Nixon. But anyway, keep moving.
Why you give me a backhanded slap like that? What's up with that?
Oh, you tried to give me Dominique Hickson for Skelton, knowing I needed two quarterbacks. Come on. Tell me.
You know what? I made the trade. I didn't really look at it. And then when I realized my mistake, I think I withdrew it, if I'm not mistaken. I think I canceled it out when I realized that when I saw your lineup and realized that you needed another quarterback. I said, well, he ain't going to give it up because he won't have another quarterback to put in his lineup. So that's my bad. Okay? It's my bad.
I wanted out on the air. I got it. So
no problem. No problem. That's my bad. And then I told you what happened. When I realized it, then I withdrew it. That's just my bad.
Charlotte.
I tell you.
Bamboozy. Plymouth Rock landed on me. I didn't land on Plymouth Rock.
Oh, man. Give it up, man. Let it go, man. Let it go.
I will. But look, I want to talk about this real quick because we're about to go into our pick segment. Will Michael Vick get benched? He's the next person to get the grind from Andy Reid. Does he go to the bench and the young kid come in and take over? Yes or no?
Oof. Well, it's all up to Michael Vick. I can't say that. I mean, it's all up to him. It depends on how he plays from now on. If he shows some type of improvement, or it's the same thing. He keeps turning the ball over. He's got, 13 turnovers in six games? Or 16? Yep. Whatever it was. Some astronomical amount of 13 turnovers in six games, which is crazy. And I think a lot of those are fumbles. So that means he's not securing the ball. And he hasn't learned from the first game, second game, or third game. You would think by the time it got to the third or fourth game, he would start learning, but he was still doing the same thing. It's up to Michael Vick. If he can hold on to the ball and perform the way he should be performing, he'll stay in there. If he doesn't, and I don't know if Andy Reid is going to make that move to a young quarterback, a rookie. He's a rookie quarterback too, right?
Yeah.
That's a real bold, real huge move.
Well,
because
look at this. He's an offensive coordinator and a defensive coordinator. His job is on the line. Why not go balls to the wall and let the kid come in and try?
Well, that's making a move from the coordinator to the backup or running backs coach, whoever Todd Bowles was, I forget what it was.
He's a defensive safety. coach. He was a D-back coach.
Okay,
former
D-back.
Washington Redskins.
Okay.
Former interim coach of the Miami Dolphins as well.
But he had defensive background versus Castillo coming from the offensive side and then being a D coordinator. That's a big, bold move right there. So getting rid of Castillo wasn't a big deal. I mean, it was a big deal, but it wasn't because the fact is he doesn't have as much experience in the defensive side of the ball as Todd Bowles or someone that's been under defense for quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Taking out a starting quarterback like Michael Vick and putting in a rookie with a team loaded with players like they have on both sides of the ball, that's a big, huge move. And what happens to Michael Vick when you take him out? If you bench him. And this is coming off a bye, remember. So supposedly for the next last couple weeks, they've been trying to straighten out any of the problems that was on the offense or defense, any team problems. So you bring him back. Michael Vick starts this eighth week, and he doesn't perform, or he's still doing the same thing. Then you pull him. That's huge. That's huge because the simple fact is he just came off
a bye week.
Yeah, so that's huge. And then you put a rookie in. Now, what does that say to the rest of your team? Does it say I have confidence this guy can do the job, or I'm giving up on the season? And I'm putting this rookie in and I'm looking to the future or what? I mean, what does a veteran on that team say? What does it say to the veteran that's been in the team for a while that you're taking out Michael Vick? You're taking out Michael Vick and putting in a rookie quarterback. How do you think the players on that team on either side of the ball feel if they put Knowles in? What are you doing? Am I supposed to have faith in this rookie now? What does our season look like? Are we just giving up the season and just play through the rest of the games? I don't understand why you're putting this rookie in. Tell me, because you played football before. Give me the mindset.
Well, for me, it would be more the lines of, okay, well, look, I'm not too happy about the situation. I got a job to do. I'm going to get a paycheck whether we win or lose. So, you know what? I'm going to go out there and play. I might not be, you know, hyped up every game. I might be like, oh, well, you know, we're not going to move the ball on offense. So as a defensive player, you know, I might as well try to make a play. Because if not, we're going to lose this game. It's going to be three and out every time, and I'm ready to go. Because we don't run Shady McCoy at all. And just imagine, a rookie quarterback not using Shady McCoy, you're inviting that quarterback to be killed. So that's my mindset as a defensive player on that team if that would have happened. Offensive side, I'd be like, okay, well, you know what? I got to make do with what I got. Obviously, they're going to go with this guy over Mike because of whatever reason. I still got to do my job. It'll be a little harder because you know the defenses are going to try to come after us. So, you know, Andy, it was nice knowing you. Good luck to you in your future endeavors because we're not going to have you next year, regardless. So that's my mindset. But
your mindset telling me on offense is like I'm playing because I get paid to play, but. I'm gonna make sure I'm gonna get mine before anybody else. And
well, I'm gonna give an effort, but it's not gonna be the same type of effort that I would be giving if I knew that we were still in this to try to win a division or win a title. Because
that sounds like it's giving up, man. That sounds like you're tanking the season.
Well, that's what a lot of players feel. That's what a lot of players feel in those situations. Now, you can tell when a team is really giving up because your practices are a little different. Coach isn't yelling as much about, you know, the mistakes that you're making. Coach isn't as strict on, I mean, let's say your star player messes up. He's like, all right, whatever. And he goes on to the next play. I mean, when I was coaching my German team, I can tell who wanted to be there and who didn't. I challenged all of them. The guy that posted on the Facebook page about the show,
mm-hmm.
You know, I got swag. He was one of my guys everybody said was lazy. I mean,
mm-hmm.
last year, or the year before last, yeah, I agreed with him because dude has talent. Fast as I don't know what. Decent hands, but he was more worried about what he looked like on the field and worried about getting hit because he had never played football as opposed to just going out there doing his thing. So he didn't show up to practice. But I played him sometimes because we got injuries. There was a lot of players. But this year, in four games, he had 6 touchdowns, and he led the team in receiving and yardage. But everybody, all the little Germans, still said he was lazy. But he was coming to practice when they won. You know, so I got on him, and I got on all these other players. But the players I got on that responded, they started showing up to practice, and they improved year from year. All those other cats, they were like, you know, you're American. And, you know, they were like, why are you cursing at us? Why are you? I'm like, because you guys aren't being as good as you can be. You're complaining about the offense, but you're not executing because of whatever reason. And then my quarterback, they don't know the plays because we need to be simple. I'm like, okay, this is simple. If I tell you run a stretch play, you run a stretch play. They know what stretch is. Offensive line knows. The running back knows. Let's do it. Okay, running game's good. When it's time to throw the ball, all people they got the ball was Benji, the guy I was talking about, or was the interception. Because the other receiver, who I got on a lot, very tall, very talented, but never saw his potential, the quarterback would try to give him the ball. Couldn't get it to him. He just couldn't. Because the guy just, he wasn't as good as we thought he was.
Mm-hmm.
That way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but he has ability. And the quarterback kept trying to get him, and it would turn over and turn over. And it's like, oh, my God, stop throwing the ball. And I'm like, I'm telling him to throw to this person, but he wants to throw to that person. Why he wants to throw to that person, I don't know. But the team starts to disintegrate, you know, and we brought in another quarterback. We didn't bring him in as a quarterback, though. It was too late in the season to say, look, you're going to take this guy's job. No, we brought him in to play defense. It just so happens in college, he was a college quarterback. So the team, again, that German, this is an American player, started to say, oh, well, coach is favoring the American. So you know what? We're not going to pay attention to the coach. We're not going to do what coach says because all he does is care about the American players. And they could have been further from the truth. It could have been. I played the players that wanted to play and did what they were supposed to do to play. So, you know, when you see a different mindset from your coach, that tells you, that sends a signal. Why am I giving my all?
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people saw what I was doing and understood it, and they tried to explain to their other German counterparts, this is what he's doing, this is why coach is saying this, this is why coach did this. But then there are others who are like, he's American, he's favoring American, so I don't care. You can translate that to the same thing as in the Andy Reid, Michael Vick situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Vick is a great player, but right now Andy Reid's worried about his job.
Mm-hmm.
He's not really worried about Michael Vick. He's worried about being able to stay employed. So players are like, whatever, do I care? No, I really don't care. You're not worried about me, I'm not worried about you, so I'm going to do what I want to do. If that were to happen, if the kid were to come in and replace Mike, I think that's a reception you'll get. But what I want to do right now, because we're running short on time, we're going to do our picks, we're going to have to do them in overtime, it's only 12 games this weekend. But I want to tell everybody, on every Saturday at Fantasy Sports Apostles, whether I'm hosting it or Jerry's hosting it, you're going to have it. Then on Sundays, you have the Master Plan with Jerry. And again, I think this week Jerry's going to give you more good tips. You guys are obviously listening to his tips because you guys are tuning in big time to his show. Might not be live, but you listen to his show 10 a.m. every Sunday here on Blog Talk Radio. JT18 Money is giving you great information, fantasy-wise and in life. Then on Tuesdays, you have Kim Fun with Compassion Bikini. She's blowing up, doing great, great things with that show. It's more of a show for the compassionate person. male, female, youth, whatever, but that's her focus.
And you should listen to her show this weekend. She's going to have someone that works closely with the United Nations this week. I'm going to make sure I listen to that show, and hopefully I can get a chance to call in.
Yes, this week Tim is going to have someone from Europe give their perspective on the American presidential race.
Yes.
And that's interesting. How does the world view what's going on in American politics? People might say, why should I care? You should care because whatever president it is will have to deal with the world, not just America. And if the world has a bad view of whatever presidential candidate we have, it's going to be tough sledding either way for international agreements and international trade and things of that nature. So that happens on Tuesday. Then on Thursday, you have FSP Crucial with Jeff Black and Jerry. Again, they're taking you up to the football game and whatever else they got going on for the week of sports. Then on Friday, you got Matt Williams and Taylor with the No Chaser. I'm quite sure Mac won't go political just yet, but I guarantee you, as soon as Mitt Romney wins, I guarantee you the following show is going to be political.
On the FSP Crew show on this Thursday, we're supposed to have a female boxer, Ava Knight, who just won a championship in I'm not sure exactly what weight class, but she just won a championship about a week ago. So we're going to have a female boxer on Thursday night show, and her name is Ava Knight.
And I'm quite sure you already have every pick that you could find of her. Dirty old man.
Let me tell you something.
I've seen her. She's very attractive, by the way.
Yes.
Calm down.
You know how I do.
I know how you do. Just until you calm down. All right. But anyway, we got 3 minutes left of live there. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to get into our picks.
No problem.
We got 12 games. And you can give, like, a little starting sit if you want, but I know tomorrow you're going to do that on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, let's start off with Tennessee at Buffalo. I think this is a game that Ryan Fitzpatrick has a pretty good game in. I think that Hasselbeck has this game, and then Locker comes back week after next, something like that. I don't look for Chris Johnson to do very much, if anything. He's going to keep his status quo. But I do believe Buffalo gets the win. Mario Williams has an excellent game.
I like they're playing where? In Buffalo, right?
In Buffalo.
Well, I'll leave my fantasy picks for tomorrow, but so all I can tell you is this. It's a bonanza. That's all I can say. And I like...
Circle of wagons?
No, it's going to be in abundance. I like in Buffalo. I like Titans in this game. I like the Titans.
Okay. All right. You might know something that I don't know. But let's go to Carolina where the Dallas Cowboys come in. This is going to be one of the very few games that I picked the Dallas Cowboys to win. But I think Dez Bryant found himself last week. I think the Dallas Cowboys put it on the inept running team of the Carolina Panthers. Even with Felix Jones back at tailback for at least a couple games because DeMarco Murray has a sprained ankle. He should be back within two or three games. But
Supposedly he got some ligament damage.
No,
that's the case.
It showed no ligament damage.
Oh, okay.
At least the report from Yahoo says it's an ankle sprain with no ligament damage found. So,
okay.
He's due to come back in a week or two. But I'm picking Dallas in this game. And
same
I'm
here.
Sitting any Carolina Panthers. That includes Cam Newton. Baltimore and so Houston, Texas. Now, Joe Flacco's your boy, too. They have no Ray Lewis. They have no Ladarius Webb. But you can't forget the Ravens have Ed Reed back there along with Jimmy Smith at corner. So it's not like they're sucking complete win. And McClain came in last year and filled in for Ray Lewis pretty well. Mm-hmm. Nada might not play, though. So
he's got a sprained MCL or something like that.
Yeah. So does Houston get a second loss in a row?
Well, let me preface this by saying I told everybody, including you, beginning of the season, I didn't think Baltimore or Pittsburgh were as good as they were on the defensive side of the ball because I said they were old. They're getting old. Even before Ray Lewis and Ladarius Webb got hurt, Baltimore was getting gassed on the run.
Mm-hmm.
So, once again, if you guys listen to the master, you didn't think too much of the Baltimore defense, and the Pittsburgh defense is not too far behind that. I like Houston at home to redeem themselves from the way they played last week, especially against Baltimore. And I give you all my individual picks, players, tomorrow.
All right. Let's move. Oh, no, I just closed all the games out. Oh, man, I'm kind of slow. Well, let's go to a game that I know is going to happen. The Washington Redskins go play the New York Football Giants.
We got to hear
I'll
this.
I'll let you go first. No, I'll let you go first.
You let me go first? This will be interesting game. I think this will be a huge test. This is the first division game for Washington, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes,
it is. And this is a very huge game, and it's being played in New York, if I'm not mistaken?
Correct.
Okay. There's a trend that I don't know if anybody's been seeing so far. That seems like the Washington Redskins play better on the road than they play at home.
Yes.
So,
I don't understand that, but yeah, you're right.
I think I smell upset. I think Washington can come in here, even though they have some suspect defense, and surprise the New York Giants. They have a history of having the Giants' number, and now they have a more dynamic quarterback. I like the Washington Redskins.
Okay. By the way, I picked the Houston Texans in that Baltimore-Houston game. And, yes, I love my team. I think with the better quarterback play, because we beat them twice with Rex Grossman, and we have better weapons. Well, no, I'm not going to say better weapons. We have a better quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be a pretty high-scoring game because New York averages around 29 or 30 points a game. We give up about 28 points a game. We also score 30-some-odd points a game. High-scoring offense in the league, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be a pretty good shootout. But I have the Skins winning as well.
I don't dislike your team. I just got finished picking your team.
You picked my team 3 times in 3 years. That's an average of...
Stop. Stop.
So anyway.
Don't even go there. Stop.
All right. Let's move on. Now, this young man, I touted him, and I put him down, and I touted him, and I put him down. And I think since he's found his receiver, I think he's going to be pretty good. But if their main target or their main weapon suffering from rib injury, I don't know how Brandon and Cleveland Brown's going to go against Indianapolis. Indy does not give up many yards in the air, but they do on the ground. They give up almost 150 yards on the ground and just a little bit more than 200 in the air. So, they're playing in Indianapolis, Cleveland at Indy. Trent Richardson has some bruised ribs, so if you got a chance, pick up Mr. Hardison. He's going to be splitting the load a little bit with Trent Richardson. Josh Gordon. I think he's a very good player, even though he doesn't give up many. It's going to be a tough game to pick, actually. But it's in Indianapolis. Cleveland gets their second win of the year. I got Cleveland winning this one. All right.
I hate to pat myself on the back, but I gave
no,
you people wait, I gave you people Josh Gordon.
I gave
people that listen to the program. How's that?
Thank you.
How's that? I said gave people that gave to the program.
Yes.
and listen to the program. Josh Gordon. Josh Gordon. The same week that he broke out with two touchdowns with two catches for 82 yards. That was his first week when he jumped on the national stage or on the fantasy stage, I should say. Your experts, your so-called experts, gave him to you last week. I gave him to you 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. So I like Indianapolis also in this game.
No, I didn't pick Indianapolis. I picked Cleveland. But,
okay. I like Indianapolis in this game. I think Andy Dalton, Andrew Luck is going to make make up for what happened last week.
By the way, do you still believe Andrew Luck is going to have a better year than RG3? And do you think who's going to be rookie of the year?
I don't know, man. These guys are playing. These guys are balling. Both of them are balling.
Okay.
It's going to be, RG3's got more endorsements, believe it or not, than Andrew Luck, but both these guys are balling out. This is just another one of those rookies I said that when you reflect back on this recruiting class, quite naturally everybody keys on the quarterbacks, but these two young quarterbacks are balling out. Falling out.
I agree. I have RG3 doing it. I think because he's more marketable to the country.
Mm-hmm.
And he's very he's athletic and he's more of what younger generation sees versus Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck is again like Peyton Manning. You're going to cater to the special people individual. As opposed to the teenager with him.
Okay.
So, at least that's what I see. Anyway, this game right here, I'm going to talk about. If you have Jared Allen, he's probably going to get like 5 sacks in this game. Arizona goes to Minnesota. Larry Fitzgerald goes back home to Minnesota. He does pretty decent in the dome. But Minnesota is a surprise team to hear. So far, in my opinion, and I got them winning it, even though AP has been dealing with some issues. Toby Gerhardt looks to get a lot more playing time, especially since Minnesota plays 2 games this week. I'm just putting it out there for you guys. I know Jerry's probably going to talk about it tomorrow, but if 2 games go on this week, how much does AP play this game? Or Thursday night. And Thursday night. So let's put it out there for the folks. But I got Minnesota winning the game.
I have Minnesota also winning this game. Just a little tidbit for those that don't know. The AP owners, let me put it this way. If you had AP, you're probably like, what the hell's going on? He's maybe racking up the yards. But since week 1, he no touchdowns.
Yep.
He's had 2 touchdowns the first week and no touchdowns after that.
Yep.
So just think about that. You know that Arizona is going to try to key on stopping AP first and foremost. So I like Minnesota in this game. I think they're going to play well at home. Skelton first game back, full starting. It may take him a game or two before he gets his legs under him. I like Minnesota.
All right. We talked about this game briefly, and I already mentioned who I feel is going to win, but I'll say it again. Green Bay goes to St. Louis in that dome. It's going to be great. The Cardinals are winning, and the Rams are perennial. Well, they're not perennial losers, but it's the first time in a long time the Rams have been relevant. I think they continue their relevance and win at home, which is Green Bay. In a closer than what people think type game is going to be. Again, play, in my opinion, play the Rams defense. They're at home. If they were in Green Bay, I wouldn't play them. But they're in St. Louis. I got the Rams and upset. What you got?
I have to stick with what I said. I like the Rams. So I'm going to go ride that tail. I like the Rams also.
Okay. Now in my pool, that pool that Black got us in, I picked Green Bay, but now I wish I could change my mind, but it is what it is. New Orleans goes to Tampa Bay. I think they found a good mixture in Tampa Bay. They're letting Josh Freeman throw the ball a little more. Mike Williams got involved. This should be a good game for Vincent Jackson. And Doug Martin should get the rock quite often in this game. But I see they're integrating LeGarrette Blount a little more. But he's got Drew Brees. So New Orleans, and this is the last game for Vic comes in and takes over the reins as the head coach. So I do not see New Orleans going 1-5. New Orleans will win this game. They'll be 2-4. How many more games they'll win, I don't know, but I told you guys at the beginning of this of the preseason, New Orleans will be the last team in the NFC South, and so far I'm right. But I got them in Tampa Bay in this game.
Where are they playing at?
Tampa.
I like Tampa Bay.
Okay, because of the, yeah.
Because New Orleans doesn't play well on grass and on the road.
Okay.
Their point total drops dramatically from home versus on the road. So.
Okay. I mean, that's a fact. So we'll roll with it. Your other dream team, your toe suction team, goes to New England and takes on weight. Now, did they finally listen to LaDainian Thompson and Mr. Green 25 times? Maybe they listened to him. Maybe they didn't. But Mr. Green had 25 rushes or more, over 100-something yards, and a couple touchdowns last week.
Three.
I don't think he'll do three.
Three touchdowns.
Okay. Three touchdowns.
33 rushes for 161 of his 163 yards. Three touchdowns.
Well,
never happened. Never happen again in a life, his lifetime, or in his dreams.
However, that's the Jets' formula: smash them in the mouth and win. That's what they should do. Will they do that against Brady and them? I don't know. I think Ridley will not have such a great game as people might expect him to have. I think that Gronkowski will. Because LeRon Landry was not able to cover him. Jeremiah Bell proved he couldn't cover him when he was with Miami. So whoever's covering Gronk, they're in trouble. Hernandez might come back. Hernandez does come back this week. I don't know if Wes Walker is going to have a good game or not. But I'm picking New England regardless. Talk about your team, both former teams. Let me clarify that.
Yeah, please, because everybody's trying to still marry me to that team. I've moved on. And seriously, I have moved on. It was ironic that the team I presently with played such a bad game, and the team I left played such a good game last week. But that's okay. That's fine. It is what it is. I had picked against them. I thought that Indianapolis will come in there, but it's a young team. Indianapolis showed their immaturity, and the Jets took advantage and came away with a very good win. I don't think they're going to do it this game. In fact, I shouldn't say I don't think. I know they're not going to do it in this game. New England, I really don't like. Excuse me, I don't like. But this is a surprise in this game that a lot of people may be overlooking. I'm not going to give it today, but I'll give it tomorrow. But I'll pick out the winner. I'll pick today. I think it's New England.
All right. Jacksonville goes to Oakland. I do not like Blaine Gabbert at all.
Who does? Who does?
I don't even think his receivers like him.
Yeah, I hear you.
MJD's coming out to the West Coast, so I look for him to have a good game. Carson Palmer looked decent versus Atlanta. Unfortunately, they lost. I think they redeemed themselves at home. They beat Jacksonville. Hands down, I look for a couple touchdown passes from Carson Palmer. I think McFadden. This is going to be a good game for running backs. I'll put it that way. I think it'll be a good game for running backs. McFadden gets in the end zone maybe once or twice.
Blah, blah, blah.
Whatever. But that's what, 4 touchdowns already for Oakland, and maybe 1 or 2 for Jacksonville. So that's the type of game I'm looking at.
Okay. All I can say is this. I like Oakland in this game.
Stop being a hater.
No, because you were giving my picks away. That's why I was going blah 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 blah.
I know.
And all I can say in this game is I like Oakland, and I'll give you the reasons why I like Oakland. Like I've been always saying, even though Jacksonville is coming off a bye, and most teams play well coming off a bye, but most teams play well coming off the bye if they're at home. Jacksonville is on the road going to Oakland. Jacksonville, I'll keep saying it until somebody listens, Jacksonville is one of 2 teams that does not play well on the road. You saw the other team on Thursday that didn't play too well on the road. Talking about Seattle. I'm talking about Jacksonville going to Oakland. Jacksonville ain't got a shot. Blaine Gabbert is a plain bust. He's a bust from the first time he took a snap. Last year, he's going to be a bust till he takes the last snap of his career. He's a bust, plain and simple. He's terrible. I have some picks in here that I'll reveal on Sunday.
All right. Breaking news from NFL Network: Terrell Suggs will play versus the Texans tomorrow.
Won't make a difference. No, the reason won't make a difference because he's coming back from an Achilles, and I think he may be coming back too soon. So
with modern medicine, but
Achilles is a funny tendon to deal with because he's a linebacker, so he's pushing off on that thing and putting a lot of strain on that Achilles. If it ain't right, he can re-injure it real quick.
Yeah, I know.
Real
quick. Like a calf muscle with our next team we're going to talk about. Troy Polamalu, his calf is not good at all, and yet he came back for a couple plays, and he's down again for maybe 3 or 4 more games.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's going to make a difference when Pittsburgh goes to Cincinnati Sunday night. I think Pittsburgh, even if the wire holds Pierman, because Rashad Mendenhall is not going to play this game, I repeat, Rashad Mendenhall is not going to play this game, or he's scheduled not to play. Dwyer is supposed to play.
Right.
Excuse the start. I think, and he's a little nicked up too.
Mm-hmm.
So Pierman might get another shot at this. Or not Pierman, that's in Cincinnati. Was it Bolden?
Batch.
Thank you. Batch might get another shot at it.
You're killing me, man, but that's okay.
But Pierman for Cincinnati, I think it's going to be a big pass.
You're killing me. Blah, 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 blah.
Whatever. They're going to listen to your show anyway. You're the highest rated one right now, so they're going to listen to you anyway. I don't care. They don't care. I don't care. Anyway, let's keep it moving. I got Pittsburgh in this game. But Pierman is another guy I picked up.
You can't give it up. That's okay.
Damn right I can.
You're a funny guy, man. But I love you. They're going to Cincinnati this game, right?
Correct.
I'm going. You know what? Because the Steelers are not the Steelers of old, and they haven't won a road game yet. You know that, right? The Steelers have not won a road game yet. So
yeah,
I'm going with Cincinnati. You didn't know that, right?
Yeah, I did, because last Thursday when they played Tennessee, that's one of the things that Mike Tomlin said. They haven't won a road game yet, and they were supposed to come out, but they didn't.
Yep, so I'm going with Cincinnati.
And Andy Dalton's kind of hurt. He's been hot, but I think he's down a little bit. I think he comes down a little bit this game. All right, last game of the it's a good one. Both teams come off a 5-week. They're playing in Chicago. Detroit, again, has not looked good at all. I bet you're not going to be talking too much about the Lions this season. But Calvin Johnson has he had a great game a couple of weeks back, but he's been silent thus far. Stafford has not looked the same. I don't know what the difference is. Even though they got a good running game, Michael DeShore, I don't think he's going to do that well against Chicago's defense. Chicago has only given up 2 touchdowns and has scored 4 touchdowns. So in the past, like, 3 or 4 games, Chicago has only given up 2, but scored 4 because of touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
It's at home. It's a Monday night game. I think Chicago wins this one, not by much, but they win this one on the legs of Matt Forte in a screen game and a couple short yardage runs by Mr. Bush, altering some of those touchdowns. I don't think either receiver is going to have that big of a game. I don't think Brandon Marshall is going to have that big of a game, and I don't think that Calvin Johnson is going to have that big of a game. But we'll see the other components of both teams step up and go.
One, the number one is in amount of in 5 games that the number one wide receiver that was taken in most fantasy leagues has scored this year. One
That's
touchdown.
That's why I stay away from him. The jinx, the Madden jinx. He might not
one
be there,
touchdown. For those that don't know, and let me enlighten those that don't know. First of all, I'm taking Chicago in this game. I think Chicago coming off a bye and playing at home is key. But for those who don't know, let me enlighten you. If you have Calvin Johnson or Matthew Stafford, if you are able to, and I hate to say this, but if you're able to trade them away, like I have, and get some value for them, the reason I'm saying this is because the passing schedule for quarterback and for the wide receiver is one of the worst in fantasy. So that means they're going up against the tougher defenses versus other teams, and that's why Matthew Stafford and Calvin Johnson are struggling, because they're going up against better defenses, especially in the DB area, and their numbers are suffering for it. So all you jumpers on from last year that jumped on the bandwagon a year late, wait until probably maybe next year to get your value for where you drafted these guys.
Hey,
like
Jerry,
Chicago.
I got a question for you.
Go ahead.
Didn't I say, like, pre-draft, I would stay away from Calvin Johnson? I would not even touch him. I wasn't even drafting, even if he fell in my lap. Didn't I say that? I mean, can you remind me? Didn't I say that?
I do believe you said that, and I'm trying to think if I ever drafted in the leagues that we were in Calvin Johnson.
I didn't say you.
Well, yeah, I fully agree with you. I fully agree with you. You don't have to tell me. The master follows the numbers. Trust me.
Okay. All right.
So I understand what you're saying, he may be picking up numbers, but not Calvin Johnson type numbers. Let me put it that way. I mean, some of these projections is mind boggling that they give to Calvin Johnson from week to week.
Well,
and he's only got one touchdown. I mean, I understand he's getting volume of passes thrown to him, but
I agree. I mean, I would stay away from, again, for the Madden jinx, and yes, you can say myths and all that stuff, but I look at the fact that they're just not that good. They're not that good Detroit-wise, and if you can double-team or triple-team Calvin Johnson, who else is going to beat you? They don't have anybody. LeSure came out his first game, balled out. Nothing else since. Not one thing since.
Well, you have to look at the defenses that they're going up against are stiffer defenses than they were going up against last year. And to think about it, and I saw this on a program. I saw it on a program earlier this morning when I was up. It happened to be on the NFL Network, Fantasy Live. Plaxico Burress was a special guest on there, and they were asking Plaxico, and you probably saw this. Why what's the deal with Calvin? And he said he's never seen a wide receiver get double teamed off the line like he's a gunner on a punt return.
Mm-hmm.
And he's never seen that before, and that's what's happened to Calvin. Quite naturally, you get two guys that are bumping him off the line. He's not going to be able to get off and open that much because the fact is you got two guys already on him at the line of scrimmage. So
one stays there in to cover the flat, and the safety comes over top to help out the cornerback.
Right, right. So,
he also mentioned that a player like him, a player like Marshall, they need that other receiver on the opposite side to relieve some of the pressure.
Absolutely.
Who are you going to double? If you go and double Calvin, you got Plaxico one on one, and that's not good.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing on the other side with Marshall. What you going to do? You going to double team Marshall? You going to double team Plaxico? And then let Matt Forte run wild over you? Not happen.
Right.
Anyway,
that's
what it is.
Yeah.
That's what it is, JT.
Mm-hmm.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to the end of our show. We've had a great time talking about basketball, boxing, baseball, football, fantasy sports. Todd Jerry thinks he's going to catch me in fantasy football, but he's not.
I'm coming. Two wins now. Two wins.
Oh, ooh, 2-4. Actually, if you win this week and I lose this week, then I'll get worried. But this is a bad week for me.
You better get worried, brother, because it's happening. My projection is I'm supposed to stomp this weekend. So I'm telling you, you're coming back to the pack, and I'm the pack.
I'm winning the division. You're just a loser.
Yeah, okay.
So we'll keep it like that.
Okay. Season's not over yet.
It sure ain't. But it's getting close. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, every Saturday, Fantasy Sports Politics right here, every Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The Master Plan on Sundays, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Compassion Bikini, Tuesdays, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. FSP Cruise Show, 8 p.m. Thursdays, Eastern Standard. And then No Chaser, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard. That's what we do, and that's how we do it. So, JC, take us out of here.
From myself and for Vic, you've been listening to
Fantasy Sports and Politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You want to talk smack, you in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy, sports, and politics. Fantasy, sports, and politics.